I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to perfect mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real. So let's be perfect. Welcome to Perfect Mode. Welcome to Perfect Mode. And first off, I want to start by saying we love y'all. We're grateful for the opportunity to be here with y'all and sharing our thoughts and hopefully helping you realize that you are perfect. And the reason why I can say that unapologetically is because I know for a fact you are one of one. You are numero uno. You cannot be duplicated, replicated. And the only reason you would think that you're not perfect is if you're looking at this person, and that person, or that person, and saying that I'm not them. But guess what? You are you, and that's all you need. And of course, it's yours truly, Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. And I have my boy Jay Clay, spiritual rapper and teacher. And I'm going ahead and give you a couple other guests that I want to throw in there as well. And this is the thing, I want to make sure everybody is special. And it's always special to have special people among us. We have my girl, Andona Kamara, on with us. And she's a quantum energy alchemist and much more. There's no bio that you can send me that could ever illuminate the person that you are. So that I'm going to leave that right there. And then we also have my girl, Danielle Searle, who is a Reiki master. And again, no bio that y'all could ever send me could ever illuminate who you truly are, because you are greater than any words that could ever be on a page. So what's going on? How y'all doing today?
Yeah.
Happy day. Feeling good. Feeling surprisingly good, considering all things considered, right? Yeah.
That's right. And today, what we're going to talk about and just kind of lead y'all into it, and for everybody that's joining us, is we're on a fasting journey. We all set out to go through a journey of a one-day fast, a two-day fast, a three-day fast, a four-day fast. And where you made it is the story. And the reason why I say it that way is because every day that you wake up, you are an inspiration or a story for someone to behold, a witness. And no matter where you end up on the spectrum, somebody's always watching and somebody's always motivated, and you can teach somebody something new. And that's just by getting up. And so I want us to all talk about this mastering the 4-day fast and what we've gone through, if you're still on it, if you're not on it, and how you felt along the process.
Before we jump into that, I got to say shout out to our patron. Shout out to Jeff supporting us. If you like what we do on the show, consider joining our Patreon. The link is in the description. A small donation can make a big difference. So I want to say shout out to all the perfect people in perfect land. Remember that this is an open forum, so if you have any wisdom to share in the comments, feel free to share. Like my sister, who was also doing the fast and said, I am perfectly hungry. Hey everyone.
and two, I want to piggyback on Jay too, man. Shouts out to Jeff, man. I cannot, you know, how could I ever start without saying something to you, man? Shouts out to you, Jeff. What up, man?
Yeah. So I guess to start off, like, what's everybody's surprising thing so far on this fast? Like a couple of things that surprised you about this process.
I'll go, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
I think that the first thing that surprised me, so I've done a couple of 24-hour fasts before, but this one aligned with my moon cycle, right on the day of my moon cycle. And I remember last time that I saw a perfect mode, I don't know if it was a live or just on an Instagram feed, with you guys, and I had chimed in and asked you questions. I had mentioned to Jelani before that I was in my moon cycle, and I wanted to kind of see what that looked like with my cramps and my hormones and all that. And so it was pretty cool how it aligned this time. And I noticed that a lot of my cramping had alleviated, but I also noticed that there was something happening within my physical vessel, like on Friday when it started. So I went 58 hours and I had lemon water and celery juice this morning. But on Friday when I began, it was a lot different because I also went to work and I felt as though I was able to continue functioning and I was able to facilitate a group on like spirituality and all those things. But I felt like there was a recalibration happening within my being, almost as if my spirit or my life force and my physical vessel were shifting. And I'm trying not to use as many filler words, but I am. That's just me. I'm just going to be me, like Troy told me to be. So I noticed that was happening. And then I noticed that there were a lot more waves going on. So it was as though I had set the intention, you know, there was a spiritual intention behind it. And I noticed the farther that I got, like into Saturday, that there with the waves, it was like I would get a high wave and then I would get a low wave. And it was just up to whether or not I wanted to listen to my body and listen to, again, the recalibration and the refining that was going on. So that was pretty cool. And that was super different. And that actually surprised me too, because when I started to listen, I was like, okay, it's time to take an Epsom salt bath. That's what I did, you know, and the guidance felt clearer. I knew when I had got the high wave, it was time to hop on my computer and do schoolwork, which I did. And I made 100 on my quiz, you know, and then it was time, you know, to calm back down. And it was just listening to her, listening to the vessel. And so that was really cool. That's never happened before. So
I want to touch on that. Then I want Andonna to come in and give yours. But I'm just telling you this based off of because just kind of give you a little backstory. I started doing the 3-day fast probably 2 years ago, and I went an entire year doing it every month. And then I think it was a year and a half actually, and then I stopped. But the thing that comes to my mind when I hear you talking about riding the wave, it makes me think about whenever I'm fasting. Yeah. Well, I'll put it like this. Let me go back. Whenever I'm not fasting, there are a ton of things that run through my mind that I overlook all the time, right? And I won't say that I always go to food because of that, but what I will tell you is the times when I'm fasting, I tend to, I don't want to say make myself busy, but I tend to listen more, right? I tend to say, you know, these things that I've been wanting to do, just go ahead and do them. Because what's going to happen is it's going to make me not think about eating, number one. And that's what it kind of that's what it makes me think about. And I just love the fact that you can correlate the actual true want of your soul to that. Mm-hmm. But Andonna, I want you to go ahead and tell us about your experience as well.
So I am well into day 3. Like I'm fully present. I'm fully doing this thing, and it's really surprised me the level of satisfaction, the level of contentment that I have at this point. So before starting this, I set an intention. Like I set an intention behind the fast, because it's for me. It's not about just doing something for the sake of doing something, or doing something for the sake of proving the ego proving itself in any way. It's about doing it with purpose to bring about something. And so the intention that I said initially starting out the gate was for clarity. And so as I was standing in the kitchen, as I was preparing for this, because I've done this 1-day fast with Jay before. And when we first started out, I was like, I am not making it through the 1-day fast. I don't even want to do the 1-day fast, right? But this was somehow different. And this was kind of aligned with where my guidance wanted to take us as far as clearing the channel. Yes. And so I set within myself, I said, you know, plants absorb what they need from the ether. They get water, but they take through photosynthesis what they need from the environment itself, from the sun, through the sun and all those things. So I commune with the plant kingdom and I said, assist me in absorbing what I need from the ether. And with that, in that respect, I haven't had this overwhelming draw or this overwhelming need to consume food. I haven't had that at all. It hasn't hit me in that way. And so through this process, I've just kept my water. I normally do a ritual of tea in the morning. I have a cup of green tea in the morning. And so I kept that. That's something I just continued to do, but it's just kind of carried me. And it's been kind of surprising because I thought to myself, who could have thought I would have made it through 2 days without eating food? But I haven't even felt the sensation of hunger because when I'm sitting here, I'm just absorbing what I need. And so Jay knows that I'm really clued into my guidance. My guidance is very present. And so as my guidance speak, my body moves in response. And so what I've found is that where I would need a breath in order to get myself centered and aligned with my guidance, well, that hasn't been necessary. I haven't even needed a breath because my guidance is right here, proving to myself that clarity is being established, that channel has been cleared. And so I have that immediate response from my guidance. It's like always there. So I'm finding myself sustained. And I realized I was operating on another level, surprising myself. When I went with my family yesterday, we went out to some bookstores and we went to Panera for them to eat. And my husband's like, "You gonna eat?" And I'm like, "No, I'm just gonna sit here and have my water." And they got pizzas and everything. And the pizzas look so great. But even though the pizzas look so great and smell so great, I'm thinking to myself, I'm gonna wanna eat. But that wasn't the case. What happened was this. It was almost like I was taken to a place where I could feel the energy of them. And they were so in a place of enjoying their pizzas. I could feel that energy. I could smell the frequency. It was like I could taste the frequency of the food itself. And as I sat there, I was moved to take these really deep breaths. And it was almost like I was consuming energetically. I was consuming energetically where they were eating physically. I was consuming in that way. And I found myself so overwhelmingly satisfied in that moment. It was a different experience for me. It was something I've never experienced with that level of intention before. So it was kind of like I was showing myself how that breatharian lifestyle works, because there are many people who adopt that breatharian lifestyle. And I was like, oh, this is a real thing. This is how I could work this for me, because every cell of us is a portal into the field itself. We exist as part of the field. And I think sometimes we use food as a crutch, like food can be the middleman itself, you know, as far as our perception of needing to fuel ourselves energetically, but realistically all exist as part of the field. And so that's been my focus, absorbing what is needed from the field itself. And I find myself absolutely sustained in that. So I'm on day three, powering through day three and well on the way to move through day four. Yeah.
Now, I want to jump in, and I know Devontae. I see you, brother. We finna bring you in too. We got another special guest, but I'm gonna introduce him. But I want to say something to Andona real quick. I love the fact that you use the plant analogy. The plant analogy is everything, because that's, you know, when I think about, I'm just gonna speak on America. You know what I mean? Because this is where we are right now. But consumption of things is not always just receiving what you need. We're always going out to get more. And when I think about a plant, I never seen a plant get up, walk out of his roots, and go get some water. So I mean I love that. And I also want to shout out to something that you said specifically to bring other people in, and that's allowing egoism. So number one, setting intentions is always the best way to go. But sometimes when egoism leads you somewhere, you have something to find out. And so for everybody that's trying to do this because they want to prove something to their ego, come try it out and see what you find out in your way. I want to bring
go ahead.
Now you can go ahead because I was gonna bring in Devontae.
Well, yeah, bring in Devontae. Let's add him in. Yeah.
You seeing what's up, man? We got my boy Devontae Bay in, you know, a father, mentor, you know, an author. This man does it all. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. Can you guys hear me clearly? My internet went in and out because some rain came and it just like took it out while I was in the car. So I had to move. And like you guys, everyone just kind of came in the middle of the introduction. So I'm good. I'm clear.
You good to go, bro?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right now, what we're doing, we're just asking everybody, like, what's the surprising thing so far that they experienced during the fast? So are you still fasting? And if so, like, what's a surprising thing you've experienced this particular fast?
All right. So I had to switch my fast because Ramadan starts today. And my wife made.
We lost you. You cut out.
It made very clear to me that I was going to be very sad. I missed out on our pre-Ramadan feast, and yeah, she kind of convinced me to hold the fast to start the water fast. So I'm gonna start my water fast on Monday. I did all of Friday, and I was like, okay, I was trying to prepare myself because I was like, I'm gonna really be sad now. Understanding like Friday was good. Friday was very like it was hard. I was hungry. I wanted to partake, and I was like, I got to do this. I told myself I was gonna do it. I didn't realize that it conflicted with the dates. And then Saturday hit, and Saturday morning we was like, "Nah, dude, you about to go on another 40-day fast? Go ahead, eat you something real quick, do something, and start it." So I'm starting over tomorrow, or I'm actually starting.
So real quick, just for those that don't know, how is fasting with Ramadan? Like, is it just water, or is it? I know.
So fasting with Ramadan is we cannot eat from sundown or sun up to sundown. So I'll wake up for Ramadan. I'll normally wake up around 5:30, pray, and then eat. And then I don't eat again until the sun goes down, until sunset.
Can you drink?
So whatever time. I can't drink water.
Okay. What? Wow.
Yeah. Not throughout that time. So this is my third Ramadan. I started doing Ramadan 3 years ago. And
you cut out for a second.
Dang it.
I had never done it before. So I had to adapt a little bit. But yeah. This year is kind of different because I'm on the road this year. So I'm used to kind of eating less already. And my only thing is just my schedule. So I'm just hoping that this year, I know it's going to be a little bit more difficult, but my intention with it this year is way more clear. It's way more clear than it's ever been. And it's way more like when me and you had talked, Jelani, and you were saying your intention has to be clear. That was one of the things that had triggered it in me, because it was like my intention for doing the fast right now, starting it, was more of a let me make sure I'm doing it for this podcast as instead of more so let me do it for God and let me do it for what I'm supposed to be doing it for and get right. And so it hit me, and it was like, all right, we're gonna go ahead and I'm gonna switch it over. I extend my fast every year. I do 40 days instead of 30 days. But I'm like, let's go ahead and add this aspect of it too. I'm gonna do a water fast on the first 4 days. We'll kick it off with that, no food. And I mean, for me, I'm down for that. I like doing challenging things, and I love the. I've never done 4 days, but I've done 3 day water fast, and I know about Andina, right? Correct.
And donut.
I know about what Andina was talking about, which is having the clarity to be in the area and kind of feel and like what breatharians do. And I love that clarity. There's something about that clarity that I miss every time I start eating food again. But it's almost like a forgetful thing. Once I start to consume food again, I start to forget the clarity that I had. It's just interesting. So I'm looking forward to really diving in this first 4 days and do that.
That's awesome.
So shout out to you, and I appreciate you, even though you know the net connection ain't where you would like it to be, that you still jumping on and trying to give us a little insight on, you know, your thinking. And also for the fact that you were actually going to try to do it prior to Ramadan, I think is a real true testament of your your mental power. You know what I mean? What you know you're capable of, and just taking control. So, shouts out to you, man. And I look forward to hearing even more about that as this journey goes on.
Jay, I want to say real quick about the history of us fasting together. So, as Troy said, like a few years ago, he did it for a year and a half. I think I did it like a year of that with you. And then we just kind of stopped or fell off for whatever reason. And so recently I was doing an activation with Andona, and she had brought into the group, she was talking about fasting and just the spirit of fasting, and how, you know, it should be considered on a regular basis. And it's something clicked when she said it. I was like, you're right. And I brought it back to Troy, and we were like, yeah, let's just do Mondays. Cause I think Troy was still doing Mondays, but then we said, let's just add on, let's bring back the 8th, 9th, and 10th. So I say this to say that it's all come full circle. Shout out to Andona for that, for just bringing the fast back into the awareness. And in a way, that's why we're all back here, just for this, how do I say, time to reconnect with ourselves, with our deeper
self. Yeah. You know, I think it's about bringing in a level of consciousness, because a lot of times we consume things so unconsciously, right? But really, at the crux of it is being intentional about why you consume what you consume. And are you really satisfying a need for yourself, or are you functioning out of habit or your habitual patterns? And for me, this has been more about breaking up those patterns, those habitual loops and patterns of thought and of operation, because it's in breaking those things up that you allow yourself to pause for a moment. And in the pause, you have opportunity to question and to really assess where you are within your life. And it's in those moments within that gap that you have an opportunity to clearly see the self, to clearly see who you are, to draw yourself within and allow yourself to begin to explore what it is to be truly and fully you. When you're inundated with the patterns of life, you don't even have a question, because you always know what's coming next. But with this pause, you allow yourself to take a moment to go within, to allow that hunger to bring you within the self and really sit with yourself and begin to question and go down the rabbit hole. So for me, that's been the bigger picture. And that's why I've set it up on my, like, from my point of perspective, to introduce it to my audience, so to speak, to begin this water fast, just to allow it to be a moment to break up the habitual loops so you can have an opportunity to see yourself, because it's in that space that you allow yourself to expand consciously. Yeah.
Now, you go ahead, Danielle.
I love what you were just saying, the observation of it and how clarity is being brought up, because that's something that I experienced. I experienced it more so around, I noticed more around 36, 37 hours. Something always happens for me around the number 37. And that's when I had looked at the app that we were using, and it was 37 hours. And I was more stepping back and observing the thought patterns that were running through my mind. And I was able to more look at them and not just observe them, but kind of say, no, flat, you know, swipe left, swipe right. You know, that's not serving me. It's not serving my highest good, and it's not going to serve anyone else, you know? And so I love that you were just mentioning that too, because I feel like after the 24 hours into the 37, there was more of a space being held for me to sit with that, and not just like sit with that, but have more of a choice with it, and saying, you know, that's not how I want to continue to perceive, you know, life or reality or experience. And I didn't have to. And so I was able to move out of that. And so today, after coming out of it, I've noticed that those thought patterns, that whole thought paradigm that may have been fixed into, you know, my mental thinking isn't really there right now. And I think that I've been able to step back, and it's almost like I've been able to stand more in some sort of power of being like, you know, that's not how I want to see it, and I don't have to see it like that. Yeah, so that's pretty cool that you mentioned that. I love that.
So I'll say this, because I want to ask Jay Clay, you know, what was surprising to him as well. But just to kind of touch on what you guys are both saying from my perspective, about being habitual, and this is the reality of this fast, and at least for me, and I think for everybody, because y'all just said it, you don't realize when something is so prominent in your life that you taking that thing away sends the wave through everything else. Everything changed, not just the fast. It wasn't just the eating, because a part of being habitual or being in a set structure, once you shake that structure up, everything else has to move as well. And so, like, you just shook up your entire life by being able to do this. And that's the reason why, even for you, Danielle, when you were able to listen to the wave, you probably would be full, or you probably would be thinking about eating, or you would probably be thinking about something that's tied to relax. Because whenever I eat, I think about relaxing. But whenever I'm not eating, I don't. And it's not that the things that I'm thinking about are not relaxing. It's just the thought of doing something relaxing does never cross my mind. It's more about being like you guys are saying, connected. What am I going to connect to next? Mm-hmm. But go ahead, Jay. I want you to talk about what's been surprising for you.
Yeah. So one surprising thing was, so real quick, my intention was as well, just to connect more with God, like the God energy, similar to what Andona said about we can just absorb all we need. I feel like we're inside of God. And so everything we need is just already here for us if we just tune into it. So, but what I noticed the first couple of days, the first 48 hours, it was like I stepped back into myself in a way. It was like I was closer to myself. Like we were like this, me and my inside self, but the world almost didn't exist. It was like we were going through this together. But then around the 48 hour mark, it was, I think the sun was setting at that time. And I was just doing nothing but staring out the window, just looking. I was just standing there, just enjoying the moment. And what ended up happening was there's like a tone I hear when everything is still. And I call it God. I don't know what else to call it, but it's so subtle that when it's not there, I don't really notice it. And I didn't notice before that I hadn't been experienced this before the fast. Like I normally do all the time, but I guess before, somewhere along the lines, I just wasn't connected in that way. And so at that 48 hour mark, it clicked and I could hear it. And it was just very peaceful and calming. And yeah, so that was surprising, just the whole process of that.
And I'll tell y'all, I mean, there are a number of intentions that I set for myself during this. But one that I guess I'll speak about was the fact that, again, you, like we said multiple times, that we've done this fast a number of times. And the one thing that I want to make sure that I did this time is stop making something everything. And what I mean by that is just the fast alone, just thinking about even when you were talking about it, Devontae, and I wanted to chime in on this as well, but saying something is going to be hard. Or saying something is going to be a challenge. And so when I walked into this fast, I said, you've done this a number of times, Troy. I said, food is not even an option. Because I knew that if I didn't say that, I was going to start thinking, like, man, this is 4 days. You've only done 3 days. This is going to be 4 days. It's going to be a challenge. And so from day one, I said, it's just like any other day. Food is not an option, and it's just like any other day. And the most surprising thing of it all, and I want to tell y'all that I'm an active person. If you don't look at my social media, I coach multiple teams. I'm a real estate broker. I have a team. I'm literally always going. So I said that to say that I haven't sat down all weekend. I even have games today. I have 2 games today for my kids. I was in tournaments all yesterday. But I can sit right here right now, honestly, and tell y'all that I am not hungry. I am really not hungry. Even so much so yesterday, we started our tournaments at 8 a.m. and we didn't finish until I think it was around 2 or 3. And, you know, I'm at the game and I told Jay Clay this as well. And like I said, trying to realize that making something everything is not an option. But I've been congested since last week. And another intention that's set for this is to say, I'm not taking any medicine during this fast or anything. I'm going to see what happens to my body along the way. But between my tournaments yesterday, I'm up screaming at the game, right? Hey, do this. And then when the game was over, I sat down. And then I kind of felt energy drained, right? And the first thing that I told myself was, oh, I'm only energy drained because I haven't eaten anything. Now, mind you, I told y'all that I've been congested and stuff, right? And whenever I'm congested and stuff, I feel down or energy drained. And I told myself in that moment, I said, you know what? How do I know it's the fast and not the congestion. How do I know it's either or? But I'm defining it however I want to set the stage to make things difficult for myself. And then I told myself, you know what? This ain't nothing. And again, I went on with my day, and I was surprised that when I got in the car, I told my wife when we was riding, we were celebrating because we won a championship. Shouts out to my son. I she's like, we're going to stop and get some McDonald's on the way to the house. I was like, okay, cool. And I said, once we pull up into this drive-thru and get this food, my stomach is going to growl. And lo and behold, when they got the food, I smelled it, my stomach growled. And that's when I knew that I was in complete control, because I understood that I was dictating all, I was dictating everything that was going on with me and around me. So again, the most surprising thing for me at this moment, outside of everything that I just told y'all, is that, and I don't say this to encourage anybody, I'm just telling you the honest truth. I am not hungry, so much so where I feel like I could actually go another day right now. But go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, so I want to ask on that, just to everyone, and we'll start with Danielle. Like, did you exercise, or were you, did you do any physical things, and were you surprised that your energy level threw it?
So this fast, I did not exercise. I did, my guidance was to rest and relax more. So I did more yoga than anything. I did stretching and really nurtured and took care of my physical vessel. The time before when I fasted the 24 hours, I worked out, and I probably worked out harder than I usually work out. So it was a little bit of a different experience. This experience with this fast, for whatever reason, and it's always, my intention is always to connect deeper with Source God, always to connect deeper with any sort of spirituality, you know, always for clarity, whatever that may look like. And this fast was completely different from the ones before. And so I was just, I was leaning into that. And it, by listening to that, I think that it probably benefited my experience. If I would have done what I intuitively was like, what I intuitively thought not to do, you know, if I would have done what my intuition was telling me, you know, if I would have done something different than what my intuition was telling me, then it probably would have looked a lot different from where I'm at today. So hard to get that out, but yeah.
Nice.
I love that. Oh, go
ahead. Oh, I was done.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I can.
I thought Troy was about to say something.
So I can go. Okay. So I didn't do anything different. I didn't do anything different. I didn't even focus on the duration of it from like my perspective, because my mindset was the only thing that exists is now. So I didn't let myself get caught up in the duration. So I didn't even download the app. It was like, I don't even want to hold myself to a time limit, right? There are people who don't keep up with birthdays. I'm one of those. And I've heard Prince talk about this too. They don't keep track of birthdays because it holds them to a collective perception of aging and time. And so in that perspective, if you adopt that to yourself, because it becomes that belief that you hold, then you age according to the collective standard, right, for aging. But if you let that go, then you age by your own definition. So within this fast, I didn't even hold myself to a concept of time. I didn't even look out and say, oh, I got this far to go, I got this long to go. I didn't keep track of anything. I just allowed myself to stay present fully within the moment and take it moment by moment. And from that perspective, I didn't experience anything in relationship to the duration itself. I didn't feel the effects of that. I just allowed myself to be present within the now. Yeah.
I can agree with that. That's kind of where Ramadan, that's where it takes me whenever I fast, but that's where specifically Ramadan takes me, and where I know this next 4 days of the fast is going to take me, because it's always a kind of just reconnecting back with yourself. You guys have said something about habits earlier, and I realized when I started to realize when I really started doing Ramadan or fasting, I guess, was that I have a lot of habits that I habitually just eat. Like, I'll just habitually eat something, or habitually want a snack, or habitually get hungry, not because I'm actually hungry, but because this is out of habit. It's 12 o'clock. I should be eating. It's time to eat. Like, it's like, but for once I started getting past those habits and starting really to dive deep into being consciously aware of them, and like you were saying, Troy, my stomach's about to be hungry, and then acknowledging that, like, okay, well, it felt like for me, the fasting period kind of feels like the hyperbolic time chamber. Like I'm just in a space where, like you said, time doesn't really exist, but I'm kind of getting in tune with God and myself in a sense to where I come out of the fast feeling renewed or like a new person.
Yeah.
Like energy levels. Like I said, the last several times the last two times I did Ramadan, I came out of it feeling more energized, more refreshed. The last time I did the 2-day water fast, I came out of it feeling just clear. And I don't think we realize how much like habitual mental energy we waste thinking about the wrong things because of like food and whatnot, and how much that traffic really bogs us down. It's like having bad internet, like honestly.
Yeah. I wanna speak to what Troy spoke about, because he mentioned the stories that we tell ourselves, and we live according to those stories, right? So if you have that thought or that belief about a certain thing, you're gonna live that out. That's why you subsequently live that out. That's how it works. That's how it is to be a deliberate creator within this life experience. Our thoughts do create our experience of life. So you have to be mindful of the stories that you tell yourself. The story that you tell yourself to set up this segment that you are about to walk into and live, you have to be conscious about that. And I think that's what this fast brought about, is that moment to take stock in what's the story that I'm going to tell myself in order to get through this next next couple of days of things. Like, how am I going to set the stage for myself to walk into this space? I played that game, in order to test the limits of what we could experience or what we could do. Like, can I really, because I have this image of myself moving into that breatharian lifestyle, could I really do that? And so I use this as kind of a test to say, What can we do? What can we do? What limit can I set for myself? And so I set the stage in terms of the story that I wanted to live out. That was part of the intention setting process. So I think that plays a vital role, being aware of those stories. Yeah.
Yeah. So check this out. Like Thursday, so I have like a workout program I'm doing. And Thursday, my workout was, Friday, my workout was yoga. It was like the first day of the fast. And in my mind, I was kind of telling myself, I feel weak, I'm a little bit hungry, all of this. So I kind of did the workout, like the tough poses and stuff. I was like, nah, I'm just going to focus on stretching and low impact. So, and then my other workouts were kind of low impact. So today was the start of the let's get back into it week. And I was talking to Troy, and I was even talking to Danielle too. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do my workout. I got all this energy now, but I'm scared I'm going to lose it. I'm going to do all this. And so Troy, he didn't say it like this, but this is how I heard it. Stop being a punk. Your mind controls your body. He was like, I still did 100 push-ups a day, 150 push-ups a day. I'm not even hungry at all of this. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And so I did my workout, and I went past like all my previous limitations, like rep-wise and everything. And afterwards, I feel so energized, and I don't feel hungry at all. Like the only thing I was after the workout was thirsty, which I drank water, but I wasn't hungry at all. And I was grateful for that reminder that, yeah, it is the story you tell yourself that makes a difference. Mm-hmm.
So I'll jump in on this too. And I want to shout out to Andona, and I'm going to shout out to Jay, because the funny thing is those are not the words that I said, but those are the words that I was saying. So just so you know, it translated. But just kind of give y'all a little bit of more of what I told him this morning. But what he said was what I said, though, just so you know. But I literally told him, I was like, and it goes back to my intentions as well, not making something everything.
Yeah.
Every single day, and this is a shout out to Andona too, right? When she was talking about being present, being in the now, I like to think of it as realizing the truth, right? And the reason why I say it this way is because we will sit and lie to ourselves and act like something's wrong when we're right here. Mm-hmm. We will sit and act like something, like we'll start to tell stories that are not real when we're really right here. And so when he talked to me this morning, or in the same when I was talking to myself, how can I say that I cannot do something when I'm right here? Like, I'm talking, I'm looking, I'm seeing, and I'm feeling. And I'm questioning at the same time, but I'm really right here. It don't go together. That's not the truth. And so that's, you know, the message that I conveyed to him, and it's the same message that I conveyed to myself. And so, again, when it came to intention setting, I told y'all before that I said that food is not an option. So when I took that away, I knew that me right here, right now, intention is always to be happy. Intention is always to be energetic, to be loving. And so regardless if food is involved or not, how can I not be me right now? And so another part of that was, for myself, I love to exercise. I love to work out. But I also know that just like when I was at that game, when I sat down and I wanted to give myself an excuse, I could have spoken to existence, well, I'm not going to have the energy to do 150 push-ups a day, right? But the reality of it was, that was not true, because it was only a projection of what I thought was possible when I'm knowing that I can make whatever I want right now be. And so every night during this time, to answer your question, Jay, I got down on the floor and I went and did my push-ups for myself, to motivate my kids, because I got my kids doing it as well. And not only that, I went and grabbed my dumbbells and I did all the weight training that I normally would do every other day. And again, I said all that to say that, back to Andona again, when you talked about intentions, intentions are everything. Know what you want to look like right now and just be that. When I talked to Jay Clay this morning, when he was questioning if he should work out, he was literally questioning me with all, he was questioning himself with all the energy in the world. Meaning, like, he was like, man, I don't know. And what I saw in him was like, well, you don't look like you're missing any energy right now. You don't look like you're tired and you don't have it right now. Like, so just be you right now, and that's going to take care of itself. So, you know, that's kind of how I see things. And shouts out for that. Was a good question, Jay. But go ahead. You can go ahead and lead in, Jay, again.
Yeah, so I guess then, so that's a good transition to, like, any tips for anybody that's considering doing this. Like, are there any tips? And I know we kind of touched on it by, like, mindset and intention, but is there any other tips that can definitely help? And Devontae, go ahead.
No, I think, like, for me personally, I think it's those two. And now story. I never really realized the story that I told myself. Like, I tell myself, you had mentioned earlier that, like, that I, the mental capacity it takes to be like, oh, it's a hard thing, and go into doing that, knowing that I was going to do it before Ramadan. For me, because I didn't do the fast, I kind of had to get over the hump of feeling like I let myself down, because the story I tell myself is I do hard things. I'm a Marine. Bro, you ain't going to tell me, I'm a Marine. First off, I take the hill, okay? And I take the hill surviving. Number two, I can do all things through Christ. So it's like, I can't tell myself that I can't do this. Like, that's looking at the story of how I've told myself that, that's how I've really gotten through a lot of things. That's how I've gotten through most things. Is no, this is what I do. I'm Devontae Bennett Bay. I do hard things. That's what it is. And that being able to show myself that is how I've been able to kind of, like, shouts to you, Troy, for saying that and having your sons do it with you, or your son do it with you, because that's how I try to have my sons do it. Like, legit, just like that. Like, I'm going to show you. If I do it, if daddy does it, you can't excuse it. And so if daddy believes that I can do all things through Christ and I don't prove it, then I can't expect you to be able to prove it too, or to be able to live up to the reputation. So I got to prove it.
And I want to shout out to, again, and this is only just to build on the story that we tell ourselves. Everybody doesn't feel like they can do all things. It's proven. You can just look around and, you know, most people don't feel like they can do all things. So you never have to label anything as hard. And I'm saying that to you to let you know that you don't have to say I can do hard things. You can say I can do all things. And the reality of it is, you separate yourself automatically, right? You just, to me, defining something as hard creates a challenge that's not real. Because, again, the truth of the matter is, whatever's been in front of you, you've been able to do. That's just my thinking, bro. I mean, you can do it, but that's just how I see it. Nothing's hard for you because you don't.
I like that because that's mindset. Is having that, those little minor tweaks are what makes it all the difference. It does go from, it takes it back to, like you said, I can do all things. I never looked at it like that because it's like, you don't have to label it. It's another thing to do. It's just another check in the box to do. And it's, dang, I like that. That simplifies it. Keep it super simple.
I can say, let's take it a step further than that. And you realize that you are all things. Like, I am all things, right? I am all things. Yeah. Like, I am all things. And I think through this fast, you have the opportunity to connect, to fully connect with your God self and sit in that perspective, that divine essence of self, sit in that perspective. And then you can see the identity for what it is and see the games that the games that the identity will play with itself. And you have the opportunity to assess those games from that ascended perspective, that divine essence of self, from that soul perspective. You have an opportunity to see that identity play those games with itself. But neither one is, you know, better or worse than the other, right? It's the fullness of who we are. And through assessing those illusions that we play, do we have opportunity to see truly who we are as a being, right? We have the opportunity to see that and bring it in alignment with the fullness of the soul essence of self. So it's allowing yourself to see the full depth and breadth of you backing out completely, like Jay said in the beginning, backing up and seeing yourself from that observer perspective, that true observer perspective, and seeing those games, assessing those games, and bringing those illusions into alignment with truth. Yeah.
And Donna, I want to ask you to elaborate for the audience, right? When you say stepping back and viewing it from the bird's eye view, and, you know, for someone that wants to do that, you know, how do they, because, you know, again, we're giving tips on the fast and to step back, you know, the vantage point that most people have is, man, that's crazy. That's tough. So
yeah,
you know,
I get
how do
that.
You step back to see that?
So number one, you got to acknowledge yourself as a divine being, a fractal of the source, an individuation of the creator itself. You are not separate from the creator of all things. You are an individuated aspect of the source. You have to acknowledge that as the who and the what of you. Many people see God as an external aspect of themselves. You put yourself in separation. You create the separation on your own, but you have to bring that back into a state of wholeness and acknowledge the fullness of who and what you are as extension of the source. God, you are God being lived from your unique vantage point. That's it. Acknowledge that fact. Only from that perspective can you step back into the fullness of the oneness, the unified field. You can't do it if you haven't come to terms with who you are. There is no God that exists outside of us. We are that. We are the embodiment of that. We are the unique embodiment of that. So you have to acknowledge that first and foremost. Only then do you have the awareness to be able to step back into that fullness. You can't do it if you haven't come to terms with that. If you are worshiping a God, praying to a God, seeking and begging and all these things, rather than summoning from the power that you are, from that true power that you yourself embody as an extension of the divine source of all creation, then you can't do it. You can't get there from there. You have to step into the acknowledgement first.
So, and Danielle, we're going to come to you with your tips as well, but I want to paint the picture for everybody on what I hear what Andonna just said. And I'm going to take it to my house so that way y'all can all see it, right? Yeah. We like to do puzzles in my house, right? And we put a puzzle on the table, and every day everybody puts a piece of the puzzle together, right? So I would tell you to imagine God as a million piece puzzle, and you're one of those pieces.
Damn.
And you know, a kid, you know, my son, my 6-year-old now, he might knock pieces of the puzzle off the table, right? And only that piece of the puzzle knows how that spot on the floor feels.
Right.
And you bring back that you bring back that feeling so we all can understand from that spot what it felt like. So just imagine yourself as being a piece of that million piece puzzle. And you are connected. You just got to remember that. Now, Danielle.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of tips do you have for anybody going through this as well.
I just want to say thank you. This, all of this right here has been just amazing. I've been able to just sit back when some of you are talking and just meditate because I've been able, I can feel it. I can feel you guys. I can feel it. You know, like we're talking about that God source within, I can feel it. I'm so thankful for this experience. So thank you for coming on here and speaking truth. But for me, my tip this go around, especially because I was like, oh, 24 hours, I can do that. You know, I've done 37 before because like I said, 37 is just my number. But going anywhere past that was kind of like, ooh, you know. And so something for me is I don't like doing, and I know I'm not actually alone, right? But I like being in the spirit of unity with other people. So a community kind of encouraged me. So and that's what was offered to me, you know, when I saw you guys on Perfect Mode on Instagram and y'all were talking, and then it continued to be offered to me that if I wanted to continue doing this and exploring fasting and how that could work within my life and my spirituality, that I could do it, you know, with you guys. And I don't really have a lot of people around here who are like fasting, let's do it, you know, but I did have you guys. And so I was able to tap into that. And also like where we connected, I'm friends with Jelani. So I was able to talk with him a lot and we do a lot of voice notes and stuff. And so, you know, I got to share that with somebody, like, here's my experience, you know, whether it be a physical experience or a spiritual experience, I was able to share that. And I was able to also kind of see where other people were at, you know, with the app where I joined the circle for it. And I was able to see, okay, well, you know, they're doing it. And so when I was able to see that other people were still doing it, not just looking at, you know, and measuring where I was at, but being able to see where other people were at on their journey and what their mood was, that was super helpful too, especially when, you know, through the times, and I didn't think about food a whole lot, mostly because if it came up, I was like, I'm not looking there. I'm not looking at it. You know, just don't make eye contact. So I didn't think about it a whole lot until probably this morning when I was like, okay, like, I'm going to feed her now. but like, I think it was a Friday when it was first happening. I saw somebody else and, you know, and it was in our little circle, our Perfect Mode mm-hmm. circle app. I don't know the name of the app right now, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but, you know, she had mentioned her mood was feeling hungry. And so it was good to, I was able to see the two different spectrums, and I was able to hear from people in the spirit of unity in our communities where, like, some people were like, you know, I'm feeling euphoria, you know, and then she was like, I'm hungry. And so I was like, okay, so even, you know, I'm in touch with that God and that divine being, but something, you know, by also, you know, through the waves of being out here and, like, you know, out of a body and then coming back in. And that's what this new experience was for me. And then becoming like anchored into the body and knowing that I can't escape the human condition right now, even though I want to. And I'm doing everything that I can to dissolve any layers of illusion through distorted perception. You know, I'm not going to be able to be completely outside of this body until, like, I'm in my light body. You know, so something that helped me be okay was, like, in those waves where I was having a human experience and I was like, man, like, I feel a little lightheaded here, or what is this headache? And then, you know, taking myself outside of that and or being like, you know what, my tummy is grumbling, you know, just realizing that it's okay to have the human experience with mm-hmm. it. You know, I'm not always going to be in so much control of it as much as, like, we want to, and we want to be aware of it. For me, and I can only speak for me, you know, I want to be a master of that. That's where I'm continuing to try to get to, but it's just not, you know, through that, it's not where I'm at right now, and that's okay. And so it's also okay. That's been, like, a huge journey for me after, you know, after having the awareness, like, that I'm not from here, I'm not from this realm, you know, as something that was really hard for me was being okay with being human, you know, mm-hmm. and being in the flesh or whatever that may be. And I just kept, like, pushing it away. So having help with that and knowing that it was okay, you know, and I, this morning when I was like, I'm going to eat, I was worried that I might, like, start judging myself or feel, like, worried that it wasn't going to be good enough for you guys. But that's not how it was. That's not how it was mm-hmm. at all. There was more support when I said, hey, like, I just want to let you know, like, in like 12 hours, I don't know, there was more support of like, hey, like, you do what you can do, and that's okay. Right. You know, and that was what was so beautiful is like, okay, so I'll just be me and I'm just going to, this is what I did. And I did farther than I've ever done before. And it was because I had help, you know, and because I wasn't alone and because there was a spirit of unity. And that's what I needed. So I
want to jump in and come, because I know we're getting close to the end, but I want to give you what I feel and how I felt about what you're saying. So it's a couple of things that you said that I think is very important. And so number one, when you talk about community, and this also goes back to, you know, Andonna's point when, you know, you're talking about the being a fractal piece. This is one of those things that we forget. We're the puzzle piece that fell out on the floor, right? But the reality of it is each puzzle piece is in its own unique space.
Yeah.
And you are always a master of where you are. Mm-hmm. You are always, like, I don't know what that spot on the floor feels like until you tell me. Like, that's what makes this special. And you being able to give that to me again, your human experience in life is light years different from mine. It's no way that I can experience the fast the way that you experience. It's impossible. It's too much that's gone on through this time frame that I can never understand, and I'm not supposed to. But the beauty of it is, if you realize, you know, that we're all a piece of that source, and you bringing back what you have to bring is that important. Your mastery shines. It's not about me being a master of that. It's about me realizing that I'm a master where I am, and I have something to bring to the table. So I just want to tell you that, and I appreciate you not stepping away from it because you feel like you weren't supported, because that's one of the things that we would never want anybody to feel. I support everybody being the master of who they are, because I always have something to learn, no matter what I've deemed something to be. Even changing my mind is a part of that process as well. So I know, Dave, we at that point. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I want to say, since we at that point, I want to say about the analogy of the piece of the puzzle, piece the other way as well, P-E-A-C-E, which I think is cool. But since we are getting close to the end, I want to give everybody like a chance to just, you know, just say something about yourself, or just say something helpful, you know, to the audience. And I'll show at the bottom of the screen where people can reach you. Let's start with Andonna.
Yeah, you got it up on the screen. Those are all the things. I just want to say, to speak to Danielle, what you just shared, I think that's such a valid thing to share. And we're all here to be our unique selves. We're here to embody us fully. Nobody else can validate you, because nobody else is living life from your perspective. So live it fully, because in fully living that as authentically as you are able to hold, do you set the tone? You set the template. You give other people a glimpse of what it looks like to fully align with your soul essence of self. It gives them the freedom, the space, the safety, the safe space to do the same thing. So you, your light, your frequency emits and radiates and sparks that same thing in the people that exist around you through resonance, through vibrational resonance. So do you, be you to the fullest extent possible. Do you. Yeah.
Thank you. And that's something that I've learned and that I continue to do. And I like how you just said that when I am living from my most authentic self, where I am being my, you know, learning who I am, my true self, like, I'm able to hold space for other people to do that too. And that's something that I want to be able to do and be able to continue to do. And I think that living in like this world of illusions, there's still some things that need to be healed, but through having the experience of healing them or walking through them, I'm able to help others, you know, and benefit others through my experience by helping them, like, hey, this is how, you know, this is how I got through this, and you can come if you want, you know? And so that's really cool. And I really appreciate you speaking up, and I adore you. I adore you so much. All of you, but you too. So
awesome. And Devante, you got any parting words for us?
Yeah, I'm just I'm grateful to be here. Thank you guys for having me on the show.
thank you guys for the support, like literally the support aspect of this, the community aspect of this is huge. It's that puzzle piece analogy. It's very important to know where your pain and where you're, like Danielle was saying, knowing that what you've been through is able to help serve or help guide and help be a beneficial to other people. It makes it work. So I appreciate you guys giving us the opportunity to share that and talk about our fast and whatnot.
Yeah, so I know we, man, I'll say this to y'all, man. We are grateful for y'all being a part of this with us, being on the show with us, helping us to see us. And, you know, to the point of the show, you know, we tell everybody. That's the reason why it's called Perfect Mode. Because we want everybody to realize that you are the one. You are perfect. You are unique. You are, understand, it's you. It is literally you. Without y'all, we wouldn't be here. We'd be doing something, but we definitely wouldn't be here. But the reality of it is, you make this everything. And the sooner you can understand that you are perfect, the sooner when you bring your piece of the puzzle back in, we can get it all. And that's what we want. We want everybody to understand that you are the master of you. And you know, that's all I got for y'all today. Jay, I appreciate y'all again. We love y'all. And Jay, you can go ahead and take us out.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say shout out to Loretta. She sent some comments earlier. She said, congrats, Danielle. She also said, and Donna, incredible. So yeah, I wanted to shout out Loretta. And yeah, I appreciate everybody rocking with us as well. You know, if you found this helpful, hit the share button, like, subscribe if you're watching it on YouTube. And yeah, just remember, you're a perfect creation made by a perfect creator. So you might as well accept your perfection and enter perfect mode. Cheers.
If I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to Perfect Mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real. So let's be perfect.
Perfect!